So good morning, everybody. Okay, thank you very much. It is an honor and a privilege this morning to share with you what the Father has to say to you today. Are you ready for that? Amen. I want to bring greetings from Pastor Ronald, Rowena, and Ethan. He asked me to greet you like he told the doctor to greet you. And then to welcome all our visitors that are here this morning, we welcome you in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's been a long time since I preached. I have two ladies in the back that are praying for me intensely. I won't tell you the names, but they're really praying for me. And at the end of the meeting, I'll call them out to come and pray with you. I'm just kidding. They gave me a hard time when I came to church this morning. So when you stand here, I can give anybody a hard time. What do we expect the Father to do with us as a people? But before I share the word that the Father has laid upon my heart, I want to just remind you of the definition of biblical worship as per the father of the house, which is Pastor Ronald. Worship is an attitude of honor with extravagant love and extreme submission to God based on the Holy Scriptures and evidence with actions that demonstrate justice, loving kindness, and humility to humankind. And what stood out for me is extravagant love, that every time we come into the presence of God, we extravagantly love Him. Like you would dress up to go to a special function, and you would dress up to the nines. God expects you to come into His presence just like that. God does not look at how you dress and come physically. He looks at how you dress your heart. God looks at how you dress your heart. The Bible says that this body is a temple. And in this temple, no one else dwells except God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What am I expecting God to do at the end of this meeting? Number one, that in your daily walk with God, you will know Him when He speaks to you. God is a God of the day. He's not a God of the week. He works in a day. And in that day, you must know Him. In that day, you must hear Him. The ability to hear God in the day is what we should look toward, what we should hunger for. And I can tell you that the cares of this world can stunt us, can stop us from hearing the voice of God. Therefore, we must live a worshipful life. I will pray with you at the end of this meeting that in this day that you will hear God. Concerning what you're going through, He will speak to you. Will you receive that? We will conclude with a song. And I love this song. I stand in awe of you. I want you to prepare your heart for that. Because God will enter your temple. Say with me, God will enter my temple. Amen. Two things I will center around. Two words. obedience and submission. That is critical to live a biblical, worshipful life. Obedience and submission. If you cannot obey and you cannot submit, then you sin. It is simple. There's no gray area about that. If you cannot obey the word of God, you sin. If you cannot submit to the word of God, you sin. Look at Abraham, look at Moses. God appears to him. And he's having a conversation with God. And he says to God how bad he is. And then his cousin, I think it is, comes along the way and he says, "You'd rather use him, Aaron." You see, when God talks to you, you've got to be obedient. You can't push it off to somebody else. He's talking to you. And you know what happened to Moses? He looked at the promised land, but he died outside of it. Now, if you look at 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, and verse number, we're going to read a few verses. Second Chronicles chapter 5, reading verse 11. I want the word to go in. I want the word to become like the marinade. That whatever you're going through today, it'll disappear when you leave this house. That you will have absolute faith to believe God for all things. Somebody said, amen. The priest then withdrew from the holy place. All the priests who were there had consecrated themselves regardless of their divisions. You may be thinking while sitting in the congregation, there's no responsibility for you to prepare. Amen? You think that the pastor must prepare. You think that this worship team must prepare. But the responsibility of all of us preparing to come into the house of God and preparing your life for life pleases the heart of God. The Bible says that Abraham was called a friend of God. Amen. I was trying to work this out. How do I become a friend of God? You may think Abraham was a big man. How do I become a friend of God? Simple. John chapter 15, verse 14. Jesus said, "If you follow my command, you are my friend." How many of you want to become a friend of God? Hallelujah. Follow the commands of Christ. That is his word. Now let me say this. You cannot worship what has not been revealed to you. It just becomes empty words. Colin, you said something very powerful last week. Dressed up like a pastor. Spoke like a pastor. Wow. But he started to name the names of God. Remember? Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah Rapha. What is that? These attributes of God was revealed to these men who began to declare it. Oh, somebody help me. And unless God reveals something to you about him, you cannot worship him in spirit and in truth. How many of you are getting this? There has to be the revelation of who God is before you can worship. Otherwise, it's just singing. Otherwise, it's just dress up. Otherwise, you're just playing. Until this God who is able to reveal himself to you comes to you and say, this is who I am. You can lift up your heart with worship. You can cry before his presence because you know he has done something for you. And by this week, by today, I'm believing God that God will do something for you, that he will reveal who he is. Hey, that is Jehovah Rapha. That is my banner. That is my provider. And unless, listen, we're not living this life for Christ to come and take us away. We're living now. Andrew, unless you see God now, and unless you see God speaking to you now, and not waiting for a length of time to pass before he can speak. He can speak now to you. Not after the service, not after we pray, but he can speak to you now. Oh, come on. Submission. Obedience to the word of God. Abraham, sitting in his tent, outside his tent, and the angels of the Lord came. He didn't recognize them. Hey, the angels may be coming to you right now. Recognize him. The Spirit of God is speaking to you now. Recognize him. Even now you're being set free. Even now your mind is being liberated. Even now your spirit is being energized. Because God is here. There's no special time for God to be here. God is here now. Oh, somebody help me. Everybody prepared themselves to come into the house of. Say, there's no division in the house. Can we settle that? Come on, can we settle that? That everyone must be accountable when you come into the house of God. And when you're living your life as a servant of God, as a son of God, as a daughter of God. Catherine read the word today. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve. You know, the enemy of God is not the devil. Do you know that? The enemy of God is mammon. Your greed for things. Your lust for things. Your hunger for things. You want to have the best? You want to dress the best? That is the enemy of God. That's what takes you away from his presence. I'm going to say that again. That's what takes you away from his presence. Because we all the while want to heap up. We all the while want to gather. But the Bible says, don't heap up your treasures on the earth. Do I need to explain that to you? But heap your treasures in heaven. By the end of today, your life will never be the same. I declare it in the name of Jesus, that you will hear the voice of God. I declare it in the name of Jesus. You'll be so sensitive, so sharp, so attentive, that you hear the voice of God. Can I share something with you this morning? Just a small secret. It can happen. Hey, I'm standing here 2 weeks ago minding my own business. I'm minding my own business. I'm standing there. I'm thinking, this man is getting a word. And truth be told, all of you sitting here wanted a word. But my word came with a gift. How good God is. He gives me a word and he pays me for receiving the word. I'm thinking God is good. So he calls my name. This man is looking at me. He says, hey, you Paul. They already say, you Paul. I'm thinking, I'm Paul, but see, he's a bredo, right? I'm just using his words. If by chance he called Raj or Siva, somebody would have stood up. He But he called an English name in the Indian church. I'm thinking, hey, God is really good. Hey, God is really good. He called my name. And I was quick to listen. You know, I'm standing there, I say, Lord, you have to give me a word. The man comes up, he says, the meeting is closing. I said, I've got to receive my lot. Thank you. And then the name came. Hey, God's got your name. You don't have to somebody to tell you your name. He knows your name. I said, he knows your name. I said, he knows your name. Hallelujah. Prepare. Let's read. The Levites, who were the musicians, Asaph, Eman, Jeduthun, and their sons and relatives, stood on the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen, playing the cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were accompanied by the priests sounding trumpets. The trumpeters and singers joined in unison, as with one voice. Say one voice. Come on, everybody, say with one voice, to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Watch, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. They raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, He is good. His love endures forever. Oh, come on, somebody. Whatever you're going through right now, He is good. His love endures forever. Oh, come on. He is good. His love endures. That's a worshipful life. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It does not matter that financial crisis right now or that situation that you're facing. Say, He is good. His mercies endures forever. See what happens. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform this service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. I wrote this down. I have to be like a scholar now. I hated Greek when I studied in Bible college. But let's give it a shot. The Hebrew word for glory is kabod. Right, Doc? Thank you. If I say anything wrong, he'll tell me. It describes something that is heavy or weighty. Is that talking about something in the distant future? It's talking about now. That when the glory enters, we can't do anything else except to allow God to minister to us. I'm talking some deep stuff this morning. It's just, don't let it go over your heads. That there's place a demand for God's glory to show up. Because we disregard our divisions. I'm a CEO, I'm a doctor, I'm a businessman. God doesn't look at that. No male, no female. He only sees sons, He only sees daughters. Can I talk to you this morning? Hey, I got 15 minutes more. I'm going to keep to time. I'm going to tell the ladies, I'll tell you the ladies later. I'll name them by name. I want to make them so frightened this morning that they'll not worry me again. The weight. Somebody help me. It expresses honor and majesty. You cannot come into the presence of God double-minded. That is a spirit of unbelief. You come with one mind. There's no division in your life. There's no parting time, and there's play time, and there's work time. There's only one time. And that's God's time. God does not look at you at work and then look at you here and then. No, 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 no. He sees you. He sees how you walk. He sees how you talk. He sees how you operate. He sees how, when nobody's looking, how you respond to a situation when your boss is swearing you. I wish he could die. Hey, God's not going to listen to that prayer. I can assure you he'll not die. You know who will die? You must die. There's a saying, when you go into death row, and when it's your time to be executed, they got a saying for this: dead man walking. What is your last request? Give me a steak. Learn how to work. Dead man walking. You are dead man walking. At your work, at home, you are dead man walking. I'm dead. You can't touch me. I'm dead. I am dead in Christ. He is the hope of my glory. Hey, not my husband, not my wife, not my child, not my boss. He is the hope of my glory. Abraham became a friend of God because he obeyed God instantly. Leave your mother, leave your family, leave your tribe, leave your kinsmen, and leave. He didn't ramble. He said, "Yes, Lord." Somebody say, "Yes, Lord." Yes, Lord. Hey, say, "Yes, Lord," to your situation. Say, "Yes, Lord," to where you are right now. Because that's a heart of worship. Am I getting through to somebody? Acts chapter 17, 28 says this: "In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being." We function. His breath we breathe. His speech we talk. His actions we do. I am dead to my flesh. I am dead to my actions. Like Clint Eastwood. I just got one question for you. Do you feel lucky? Punk, do you feel lucky? Make my day. And he had this magnum right near the end. Make my day. Why I said that, I don't know. I just felt like saying that. It was so good to say. Always wanted to say that. The glory of the Lord. Stay with me. Stay with me, because there are a lot of punchlines. James 2:23 says this here, and the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God and he was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Amen. Now, I'm winding down. We can be occupied and be in sincere service to God, yet we can still miss him. It's not an empty statement. You can be occupied with the things of God, but yet you can miss him. A worshipful life brings us to the place of hearing him. A biblical life of worship, what does it mean? It simply means understanding the truth of God's word and letting it become the rhema, letting it become the now word, letting it become the progressive word of God, that it means something to you. Is this okay? Isaiah was in the temple. How many of you know that story? And suddenly God appears. He was functioning. He was operating. He was in service. He was a priest. Just like us, we all come in, am I right? But do you know that sometimes we can miss him when God is speaking to us? Even now. Why? Because of preoccupation. You become so occupied with religion and tradition that you can miss God speaking. Why? We're too good for this. We're happy. We come, we show our face, we go. But a worshipful life is not on a Sunday. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's your life. It's who you are. Submitted to God. Don't let tradition block your ears from hearing God. Amen? Come on, somebody. Isaiah was in the temple and he did what? And he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Let me zero in. In Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 5. Yeah, but have your Bibles. Please turn with me. In this portion of chapter, the Bible speaks of a man that was called Zechariah. Luke chapter 1. Whose name was Zechariah. His wife was Elizabeth. They were to become the parents of John, who was the forerunner to Jesus. And yet this man Zechariah, and if you see his CV, Bible says he came from a line of priests. And in fact, his wife came from the priest of the order of Aaron. Here's his CV. He was upright, observed all the commandments and regulation, and they were blameless. I wrote this down. Do we serve God because of duty or because of a worshipful life? I rebuke that this morning. If you live a Christian life that is dutiful, you do it out of duty. You do it out of compulsion because you think something bad will happen to you. I can't sleep in the night, so I put my Bible under my pillow. Honey, where's my cross? Where's my chain? You know, I can't go anywhere without my gold chain with a cross. You can't live like that. In him we move, and in him we have our being. Not the Bible under your pillow. Not the shadows you see in the night. Not the noise that you hear in the nighttime. It's only your fridge. And your eyes are all blurred in the morning because you didn't sleep. That fridge is making noise. Go to the fridge and say, "Fridge, stop your noise." And if the fridge don't listen to you, buy another fridge. I'm making sense this morning, because you allow stupid and foolish things to occupy your life, and there's no room for God to operate. You know, Doc, for 400 years, the voice of God was not heard, tradition says. For 400 years, and here this man who is a priest is functioning in the temple, and the angel of the Lord comes out from the holies of holies and stand by the incense and says to this man, "I come." Hey, do you know that God comes to you just like that? But because of your unbelief, I'm concluding, because of your unbelief, he will make you dumb and make you deaf. That's what he did to Zechariah. For 9 months, the angel said, "Because you fail to listen." Can you imagine 400 years? This man is praying. He's saying, "Lord, come and deliver us. We want a Messiah." And God comes and says, "I'm giving you a Messiah." And he still didn't believe that. How can it be? I'm old. My wife is old, but he knew the scriptures. Now listen, this is a good one. God never tells us to believe without a point of reference. He never tells us to believe in a vacuum. He gives us points of reference. Say points of reference. This is important. In this case, who was his point of reference? Abraham. He was an old man. His wife was an old lady. And the Lord said, to you, I'll give you a child. But why was it counted to Abraham as righteousness and counted to Zechariah as sin? See, you can know the word, you can pray the word, you can sing the word, you can quote the word, and yet have unbelief. You don't get this morning, you're going to go away unfed. You see, the Lord told me to tell you this. When he tells you to do something, he always has a point of reference. Go and search it out and say, yes, Lord, I believe. The prophet sends his servant. The lady comes and ask her if it's well. Her son was dead. It's well with my soul. It is well with my son. It is well with my household. If everything is going wrong with you, and if you can say it is well, God's about to show up. Okay, come on. God's about to show up. I'll say it again. If everything is going wrong, and you can say it is well, God's about to show up. Three times, it's done. If everything is messed up in your life, and somebody comes and asks you, is it well? It is well. Oh, then the miracles will start happening. I'm telling you, some of you are going to go out of this place, miracles are going to happen. I'm not going to tell you what will happen. You go find that out for yourself. But things are going to happen as we submit to this awesome God. This man was advancing. Now let me conclude. He knew the scriptures. He prayed the scriptures. He was 70 years old. He must have been a big man in amongst the priests. And it was his time to serve the Lord. Tradition says that there were priests that was in the temple, and there were lots cast for them to minister in the temple. And some of these priests would never minister. They will die. Because there are a few duties in the temple of God. But when it was his time, it was a special time. Hey, you are here this morning. It is a special time. We are priests in the order of Melchizedek. We are a priesthood. How do you come this morning? Can you hear him? I said, can you hear him? I close. Is your coming to the house of the Lord a duty, or is it a worshipful life? Can you recognize God when he appears? The church was praying for who? Peter. He stands by the door. I think we're seeing a ghost. You see, it's just a religious thing that they were doing. Oh, we just have to do it. Huh? The lights go off, we pray for the demons of the lights. Maybe you didn't pay electricity. Maybe Eskom is having a problem. Don't pray for the devil. You need to know how the important things must be the important things. And the things that don't matter, leave it in that place. Let me conclude. The week that went by, I had to deal with some very, very devastating news that really touched the core of my being. Just by one SMS, or sorry, a WhatsApp message, It touched the core of my being. It challenged who I was. I'm making something personal this morning. I won't tell you that story, but I can tell you what it did to me. And immediately when I heard this news, the guns came out, the knife came out. I want to fight. Psalm 37, verse 8. And this is what the Lord told me. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. The best place to be in with any situation, be quiet. Because the Bible says, even a fool who keeps quiet is considered wise. You're not weak. You're not stupid. You're not foolish. Hey, you can do your stuff. Walk away. You know, when you walk away, that's the most frustrating thing for somebody. Because they want to fight with you. Walk away. My favorite line in Madagascar, smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave. You know that penguin? Smile and wave. Let's stand. Can the guys come up? We'll sing the song. And I want to pray just a simple, short prayer that in this week and today, you will hear the voice of God. Did you receive something this morning? Come on, did you receive something? Amen. Please tell Pastor Ronald I finished at half past 10, right? Will you do that to me? Do that for me? Half past 10. I'm done. Sure. I want you to sing this song with just an intensity and a love for God. Just clear your mind. Can you clear your mind? Can you clear your mind? Bible says, renew yourself in the spirit of your mind. Clear your mind. Don't sing because I'm asking you to sing. Sing because God's about to appear. God's about to appear in your temple. The angel of the Lord is about to appear. Cornelius, I just got out from the presence of God and I have a word from the Father. Cornelius. So you are beautiful beyond description. You're too marvelous for words.
Beautiful beyond description. One more time. I stand
that I've wiped the slate clean. And from this time forth, from the littlest to the oldest, you will hear my voice. You will hear my voice. There will be no more division, no more rankings, but we will stand as one before the Lord. Lord, we thank you for speaking to us. Thank you that your word has gone deep into our hearts. And we thank you for the victory that we have in you today. And we thank you that today we will hear your voice and obey your voice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And everybody said, let's clap your hands and give praise to the Lord.